Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
Hi, everyone. It's Jo here, and it's a pleasure to have on the podcast for the first time Ruby Ann Blair, who is an author and a lady who does lots and lots of things. I don't know where she finds the energy. So, hi, Ruby.
Hello, Jo. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. It's lovely to speak to you. So you emailed us about your book, Echo the Blind Tiger, and I was quite intrigued by this. So we decided to do this interview, didn't we?
Mm-hmm, we did indeed.
So what started you as an author?
Oh, gosh. How long have you got?
As long as you like.
So I think when I was a very little girl, I loved writing stories. I was always kind of getting in trouble for scribbling on the walls in the house that we grew up in. And I had a really vivid imagination. And that's the first kind of time that I remember doing a lot of writing and kind of creating little characters and imaginary friends and whatnot in my head. And then as I kind of grew up and went on into kind of school and university, I carried on sort of doing creative writing. But then I went on to do English literature and history at university. So that was about, we're going back about a decade now, which kind of was my first foray into poetry, which is where kind of the inspiration for the Strength in Stories series comes from. After my first degree, I went on to write for a magazine. So that was a food and drink magazine in Leeds, Leeds List and Leeds Living. So that was more the food and drink review side of things. And then I've just gone back to university to do dietetics. So then I was doing academic writing. So I've had my fingers in a lot of pies over the years. And it's my first foray back into writing for children now.
Wow. You've tried loads, haven't you? Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah, lots of hats to try on, but seeing.
Yeah. No. So what gave you the inspiration for Echo the Blind Tiger? And do you have a connection to visual impairment yourself?
Yeah, so not in my immediate family, but when I was on placement for dietetics, I did part of my placement in the paediatric unit. So I did kind of come into contact with a lot of children with various kind of learning needs and learning disabilities, visual impairment being one of them. So that was part of the inspiration for Echo the Blind Tiger. I remember when I was kind of in the paediatric unit, a lot of the resources and books and toys weren't necessarily geared for the children that were there. And I wasn't even thinking about creating children's books at that time, but it's obviously something that's kind of stuck with me. And that's part of the inspiration. The second was just, it came from a deep desire to create something that's kind of resonated with children. A lot of children experience the world differently due to various reasons, sight loss being one of them. And I really wanted to craft a little character that embodies strength, curiosity, resilience, all the kind of qualities that I believe are really essential for overcoming challenges. So yeah, that was the hope, that was the inspiration.
So tell us about the book then. Who is Echo the Blind Tiger?
So Echo is a little tiger who's born with sight loss, but he uses all of his other senses to go on adventures and learn about the world and gets a lot of support from his friends. And he's just a bit of a symbol on how our differences can sort of become our greatest strength. I wanted him to sort of, despite being blind, understand and discover the beauty of the world through his other senses.
Fabulous. So is that, this is the first one of this type, isn't it, that you've written, the first one for children? Am I right?
I believe it was the first one. I had two out that came out around the same time. I had one on dyscalculia called Tom Has Dyscalculia, and then Echo, and I can't remember which one came out first. I was kind of okay, writing them side by side, but there's five in the Strength in Stories series. But yeah, this was the one of the first ones, so this one's very close to my heart. I don't know, I feel quite connected over it. Yeah.
So where is it available?
So at the moment you can find it on Amazon. It's available worldwide, so if you just type in Echo the Blind Tiger, it's the first thing that comes up. I'm also working with a really lovely girl called Hannah Ahern, who is a narrator, so she's changing it into an audiobook for me. There's been a few teething issues with that, so I've never turned a book into an audiobook before. She has, but there's been some slight teething issues with the sound quality, but we're hoping to iron those out, and it should be on Audible in the next couple of weeks, which is really exciting.
That's really exciting, and that's so important to a lot of our listeners, because a lot of us use audiobooks on different platforms, you know. But yeah, a lot of us are Audible users, so that's really good to hear. That it's going to be an audio, which is amazing.
Thank you.
If it's available on Amazon, I'm just wondering, because it'll be available, I'm assuming it'll be available on Kindle, will it?
Yeah. So there's Kindle, there's a paperback version, so whatever kind of resonates. I'm actually trying to work with someone at the moment to get the paperback version turned into a Braille version.
Wonderful.
I don't know much about that, because when I've been speaking to some other kind of people that have, you know, children with visual impairments, they often will get the books and have them Braille themselves. But I have found a company that will hold your book and Braille it, and then people can just purchase it or download it from that site specifically, and they don't have to go through the process of having it Braille themselves. So hopefully that's something I can offer in the future for Echo as well.
Oh, that's really wonderful. And yeah, that's great. You've covered all bases, I think.
Hopefully.
So what's next for you? Have you got another book in the offing? Or I know you said you're going back to university. yeah, you're a very busy lady, because you work full time as well, don't you?
I do. That will be dropping down when I start uni, unfortunately. I do need to sleep. But yeah. At the moment, I have a little bit of time. I'm working on a couple of things. I have a few more ideas for the Strength in Stories series. So, you know, things that children tend to struggle with, things like emotional regulation and bullying. I just want to kind of conduct a couple of focus groups with families, just to see where I can help and the kind of support that they think they might need to see in literature, because the books do come with kind of open-ended questions woven throughout and sometimes at the back, and some resources. So I just want to make sure that I'm offering the right things, not only for the children but also for the families. And then I've also just started writing a point horror book for teenagers, because I'm a big horror fan myself, so slightly away from the children's books, but something I've wanted to do for a really long time. And actually, that's what I was doing just before I jumped on this call with you.
Wow, that's totally different, isn't it? Totally different.
Yeah, I'm just sort of flexing my writing a little bit at the moment, and yeah, I just love it so much. I love passing stories and, you know, finding things that resonate with people, so we'll see how that goes. Wish me luck.
Yeah, definitely, best of luck with that. So when we were just chatting before we started recording, I was sort of asking you, were you the kind of writer that's really stringent and strict with yourself and writes sort of 9 to 5? Because I know some authors do, don't they?
So what advice?
Yeah, so what kind of author are you?
Oh god. I am an a boundaryless author, shall we say. One that thrives on probably one too many coffees and one too little hours sleep, if that is even the right grammar. Do you know what, you know when you love something so much, I really struggle to shut off. I am a person of extremes in all areas of my life, and this is no exception. I think the world's a bit of a rubbishy place at the moment, and I think that I found something where I feel I'm making a small bit of difference and something that brings me a lot of joy, and it's quite hard to tear yourself away from that. I also have a partner that loves PlayStation games, so it means that we have very quiet evenings where he is immersed in his game and I can get some writing done. So it's a symbiotic relationship in this house.
Yeah, sounds perfect, doesn't it, really? Perfect arrangement.
It's okay.
What age group is Echo suitable for?
So it's suitable for, I would say, about 5 to 10, 5 to 11-year-olds.
Right, perfect. Mm-hmm. So is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about yourself, Ruby? It's very open-ended, isn't it?
I think, yes, it is. I don't really know. I think we've sort of covered everything. Spoken about the Strength in Stories. If anybody is interested to know about the other books, I have Holly the Hare with Words to Spare, which is about navigating life with dyslexia. I have Leo's Unique Roar, which is about a little lion that has some of the traits of autism. And I have Freddy the Fox, A Whirlwind of Wonder, which is about a little fox who has ADHD and helps his friends and little animal friends just help them kind of navigate some of the conversations around that. So,
I think that's just so lovely to use animals. It's just something that children can really equate to, isn't it? You know, because most children love animals and
I just loved them so much as a little girl, and I remember I grew up wanting to be a vet, and I just, I don't know, it was just something that I always loved reading about, you know, animals and human traits. So hopefully it resonates with some little ones.
And I'm assuming they're all available on Amazon, are they?
They are, yeah, all available on Amazon, all Kindles and paperbooks, and all in the running to be made into audiobooks currently as well. So hopefully it all should be sorted within the month.
Oh, that's amazing. That's just lovely.
Thank you.
Well, the best of luck with it, Ruby.
Oh, thank you, Jo. Thank you so much.
Hopefully we'll, speak to you again when you're, you've got more books available and see how you're doing at uni. What did you say what you were going to be studying at uni?
No, I'm going to do my final year in dietetics. So the hope after that is to work in paediatric critical care. And I did a lot of my placement in there. Just felt like I was making a real difference. And it's really combines my love of kind of science and working with children and young families and nutrition. So it's kind of perfect.
Oh, that's amazing. Did you, before we end, did you said that you kind of use focus groups and things like that, and when you were writing Echo, did you use focus groups for that? Because you said you have resources at the back of books, and I'm guessing working in paediatrics gives you that availability as well too.
It does, actually. Echo was the first one that I didn't use a focus group for. I kind of just cobbled that together from things that I found in like targeted groups on Facebook and you know, just charities that are out around sight loss and visual impairment anyway. I tried to speak to a few kind of people that work for charities, and then I had the idea that it might be a good idea to get the input of the parents. So then I was joining Facebook groups and just asking if anyone had a couple of minutes to me, and people have been very receptive to it, which is great. I'm really grateful.
Oh, that's great. Oh no, that's lovely. Well, best of luck with it. I hope Echo is a roaring success. It's a pity he's not a lion, isn't it? That would have been
yes. Lee, we've got Leo for that.
Yeah, we have. So, well, best of luck, Ruby, and thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
No, you are so kind. Honestly, you've given me a lovely break from my evening. So it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome.